السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ أنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين أبا يوسف حبيبي،
الحمد لله بخير يا شيخ أنا.
we can go on.
نعم يا شيخ أنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل. الإمام البخاري has compiled this book to help the Muslim find guidance in the life of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام and his companions رضي الله عنهم regarding their affairs in this dunya and regarding their dealings with Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the previous discussions at the beginning of the book were about our relationship with people, with human beings, and how we relate with them, what should be our manners and our lines of conduct, taking lessons from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But in the last few chapters, the dealings have been about how to conduct ourselves with respect to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in terms of dua, asking Allah, begging him, supplicating to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in terms of regular remembrance and the benefits we gain when we regularly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using various forms of expressions of adhkar that the Prophet taught sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that the companions radiyallahu anhum were upon. In the chapter we are upon now, it is about examples of the supplications of the companions radiyallahu anhum and even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did they use to make dua and how Allah gave acceptance to their dua? In hadith 632, we remember the hadith of Amr ibn Hurayth, Abu Sa'idin al-Qurashi, was a very young boy. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He was just 12 years old. Radiyallahu anhu. He told us something regarding himself and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam at a very young age. He said, "Zahabat bi ummi ila an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فمسح على رأسي ودعا لي بالرزق." My mother took me to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فمسح على رأسي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مسح على رأسي ودعا لي بالرزق. The Prophet wiped over my head ودعا لي بالرزق and begged Allah to make me very rich, that Allah should provide me richness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam da'a lahu birrizq. The Prophet wiped over the head of this young boy radiyallahu anhu, Amr ibn Hurayth, Abu Sa'id, He begged Allah to make him rich. And we gave an example of an indication of the richness that came to Amr ibn Hurayth when he married the daughter of Adi ibn Hatim. Adi ibn Hatim had asked for a mar, we calculated to be about 1.8 million in our own currency. And it happened that Amr ibn Hurayth sent him a container of silver coins. We calculated about 40 million, about 40 times the request for the mahar that he gave the father of the girl. Ask whatever you want for your daughter and I will give. The father, Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, who was himself a very rich, from a very rich background, asked for something many of the people considered very big. But because of the barakat from the dua of the Prophet upon Amr ibn Hurayth, he was able to provide 40 times more than that. Radiallahu anhum. In Hadith 633, we read the Hadith of Anas ibn Malik. Radiallahu anhu, some people came to him asking for dua all the way from Basra to Medina. So while he was at Az-Zawiya, which was the place where he built his mansion in the outskirts of Medina, Anas ibn Malik Abu Hamza radiallahu anhu, he made the dua saying, Allahumma ghafir lana warhamna. Allahumma ghafir lana warhamna. O Allah, forgive us. Warhamna. Show us your mercy, your rahmah. وآتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. And grant us in this dunya حسنة, goodness, every form of goodness give us. وفي الآخرة حسنة, in the hereafter grant us حسنة, grant us goodness. وقنا عذاب النار, protect us from the punishment of the fire. When he said this, he stopped. But the people, rahimahumullah, istazaduhu, they asked him for more. Give us more, more dua. Just, we came all the way. And this dua itself would not take up to a minute, maybe half of a minute. Allahumma ghafir lana warhamna wa atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وآتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Less than half of a minute. So they asked him to make more dua. So he said to them, رضي الله عنهم, إن أوتيتم هذا فقد أوتيتم خير الدنيا والآخرة. إن أوتيتم هذا, if Allah grants you what I have prayed for, if Allah grants it to you, فَقَدْ أُوتِيتُمْ خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, you have been given the entirety of the goodness of dunya and akhirah. When he said, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَآتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And we took a lesson from that, that sometimes we like to sit down and then we'll be counting our difficulties one after the other, begging Allah for ease. We'll be counting our needs one after the other, begging Allah for provisions. We'll be counting our favors one after the other, asking Allah for increment. Sometimes we need to employ expressions that are easy and all-encompassing rather than giving extensive details. We give brief, concise, all-encompassing supplications that includes all of what we ask for and better than that. How many a time does a man ask for something and there is, with Allah, of course, better than he has asked? So, but when you express your supplications in wordings that carry a lot of meanings, bigger than having to become so detailed, then that is better and closer to the Sunnah and the practice of the companions, radiallahu anhum. Imagine a person saying that, "Oh Allah, build for me a house in this dunya that has windows, that has fans at the times of fans, that is spacious, that has a window," and he starts to count them. How is that? Rather than, "Oh Allah, grant me a successful home, a good home, a nice home," then you allow him to give you the details as he has desired, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of goodness. Likewise, when we ask for wives, when we ask for children, we should employ all encompassing expressions rather than being in the kinds of details that, in fact, sometimes those details, if Allah gives you in less than 3 years after that, you find that those ones you ask for, they become obsolete. You need to ask for another one. Are you now going to throw away those ones that you had painstakingly asked for? So it's always better to ask in our dua. We should employ expressions that are all encompassing. The last hadith we read in class was hadith 636. Hadith 636 was our last hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with that isnad, we mentioned to be weak. The isnad in 635 is the same isnad in 636, and it's a weak isnad, even though the message in that hadith is affirmed in many other ahadith that are authentic from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In 636 it said, "Man halala mi'atan, sabbaha mi'atan, wa kabbara mi'atan, khairun lahu min ashri riqabin yu'tikuha, wa sab'i badanatin yanharuha, khairun lahu min ashri riqabin yu'tikuha, وسبع بدنات ينحرها من هلل مئه." Anybody who says la ilaha, he makes at tahleel la ilaha illallah 100, وسبح مئه, he makes tasbih subhanallah subhanallah 100, وكبر مئه, then he says Allahu Akbar, that is la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, and Allahu Akbar, mi'atan, 100 times. This report says that it is better for him min ashri riqabin yu'tiquha, it is better for him than 10 slaves that he would free, wa sab'i badanatin yanharuha, and 7 badanat, either camels or cows, that he will slaughter for the sake of Allah. This hadith shows the importance of those expressions. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And they occur in many other ahadith where the Prophet extolled the virtues for us to say those expressions. One of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, "Ahabbul kalami ilallahi arba'u, ahabbul kalami ilallahi arba." 4 expressions are most beloved, or the most beloved expressions to Allah are 4. The most beloved expressions to Allah are 4. He said, "Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar." Ikhwa, I hope that between the last class and today, we would have said a lot from this dhikr, that subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. These expressions that Allah really likes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet even told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا يضرك بأيهن بدأت به، لا يضرك بأيهن بدأت به. No one of them. لا يضرك. It should not cost you anyone. بأيهن بدأت. Which one of them did you start with? You can start with الحمد لله، سبحان الله، الله أكبر، ولا إله إلا الله. Whichever way you arrange it, it is lawful and it is still beloving to Allah to give those four expressions, سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله الله أكبر. These four are the most dearly expressions before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the narration that followed, Hadith 637, with the same isnad, we said the isnad was weak. And just like 637, the isnad continues, the same isnad for 635, 636, and 637, except that Hadith 637 has corroborating evidences that show that it is sound. It has other corroborating evidences that the message is sound. It says, فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رجل فقال يا رسول الله أي دعاء أفضل؟ قال سل الله العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. ثم أتاه الغد فقال يا نبي الله أي الدعاء أفضل؟ قال سل الله العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. فإذا أعطيت العافية في الدنيا والآخرة فقد أفلحت. فإذا أعطيت العافية في الدنيا والآخرة فقد أفلحت. In this hadith, with the same isnad that we had mentioned to be weak, but the message is sound, and we shall mention some of the corroborating evidences that support the fact that the message in this hadith is sound. What was it? أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رجل فقال. A man approached the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم and said, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, أي الدعاء أفضل? What form of dua is best? How best should I make dua? People ask this question to get the best from their supplications. So the man came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, dua afdal, how best is it that I should make my dua? Which dua is best? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَلِ اللَّهَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. سَلِ اللَّهَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask Allah for al-afw. Al-afw is pardon. مَحْوُ الذُّنُوبُ وَسَتْرُ الْعُيُوبُ. Ask Allah for it, al-afw, mahu dhunub, that your sins are pardoned, that your sins are cancelled out and obliterated. Mahu dhunub, that is the meaning of al-afw, that Allah overlooks your shortcomings. Wasatrul uyub, uncover your faults. He overlooks your mistakes. He overlooks your shortcomings. Then he covers your fault. So when the people see you, you are seen with the eyes of perfection. When you are seen, people think that you are perfect. But Allah has only granted you al-af. What is that? Allah has been forgiving your sins, your shortcomings. And then he covered up your faults. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is al-afw. As for al-afiyah, the ulama say that al-afiyah is as-salamatu fi al-deen min al-fitnati As-salamatu fi d-dini min al-fitna. That is al-afiyah. It's when you are free. Allah has protected you min al-fitnati fi d-din. In your religion, there is no fitna inside it. There is no misguidance, no inhiraf, no strain. You have not strayed in your religion. You are upon sound aqidah. You are upon sound manhaj, conduct, suluk, mu'amala, ibadah. All of these, they are sound and you are upright. When you are upright in your religion, Allah has granted you al-afiyah. Not just that. وَفِي الْبَدَنِ مِنَ الْأَمْرَادِ. Likewise, on your body, you are free. You are free from illnesses. You are free from troubles. وَفِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ شَرِّ النَّاسِ. Likewise, in other affairs of your dunya, you are free from the evils of the people. You are just free. In your deen, there is soundness and uprightness. In your worldly affairs, you don't have a physical trouble, no problem, no disease. You are okay. You are sound. Well-being. So that is why al-afu is translated. In translation, you say, when Allah grants you afu, He has granted you pardon. And when He grants you al-afiyah, He has granted you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has granted you well-being. You are sound in your mind. You are sound on your body. You are okay. You are not running after anybody. Nobody is running after you. In your deen and in your dunya, in the matters of your deen, you are sound. You are okay. You are firm. You are upright. In the matters of your dunya, you are also sound. You are upright. You are not running after anybody. Nobody is running after you. You have sound health. No debt worrying you. This is as-salamatu that you gain if you have al-afiyah. So this man who had asked the Prophet this question, alayhi salatu wasalam, as is in this report, the Prophet told him, سَلِ اللَّهَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ أَتَاهُ الْغَدْ فَقَالْ. The man came also on the next day. He asked again, يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ, O Prophet of Allah, أَيُّ الدُّعَاءِ أَفْضَلُ, which, how best should I make dua? Which form of dua, which expressions of dua is best? The Prophet repeated it again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salli Allah al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Beg Allah for al-af. Beg Allah for pardon. Beg Allah to protect and preserve you for safety. As for that is, is begging Allah for well-being. Al-afiyah is as-salamatu fi d-dini min al-fitna wa fi al-badani min al-amrad wa fi d-dunya min al-nasi wa shururihim. When you have this, you have al-afiyah. The first one is as-salamatu min al-din aw fi d-din min al-fitna. Your deen is protected from trials. Some people have trials regarding their religion. They belong to sects of various forms. They cannot say, I am a Muslim upon the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his companions. This is Islam. I am a Muslim following the Prophet and his companions radiallahu anhum. I am a Muslim upon the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and his companions, the early Muslims who were with him. What, wherever they are, that is where I am. Why? This is what Allah told me to be. He says, Amana Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun kullun amana billah. Those who are upon Iman was the Prophet and those who were with him, each of them had Iman and so on. So these are the models that I have inside my Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum and those who were upon what they were upon. This is Islam. But some of the people have problems with their deen in terms of their belief. They have beliefs that contradict what the Prophet and his companions and those who were upon their ways were upon. This is problem. This is fitna fi deen. So you begin to have people have labels. Instead of saying, I am a Muslim, I am a mu'min upon the way of the companions and the salaf, you begin to hear, I am Shi'i, you begin to hear, she is Rafidi, you begin to hear, I am a liberal. Names, Khariji, Takfiri, people. When you have this, the person does not have as salama to fi deen. He has fitna in his deen. I am a follower of Shehu something. You have fitna in your deen. I'm a follower of Baba Kinika. You have fitna in your deen. The only people you have been told to follow is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and those who were upon what they were upon. Those are the people that Allah has told you to follow. Allah said, As-sabiqun al-awwalun min al-muhajiri. You can see muhajirin and al-ansar. Who were muhajirun and al-ansar? The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal-lazina taba'uhum bi-ihsan. And were upon what they were upon in goodness. So these are the people that we follow according to the Quran itself. We follow the Prophet, his companions, and those who were upon what they were upon. If a person has a path in his deen other than this, he has a problem. He has a fitna in his deen to the extent of the followership that he has given to any other than the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions and those who were upon what they were upon radiyallahu anhum. This is the meaning of fitna in the deen. Likewise, if you have al-afiyah, you also have salamatu fil badan. You are in your physical health. You are preserved, you are saved, you have well-being, min al-amrad, away from diseases. Allah has not tried you with your diseases. The worst trial is the trial of the deen, followed by the trial of sound health. If a person has a billion and he is worried with severe headache, he forgets the billion. When illnesses come, people forget whatever money they have. So from the biggest favor of Allah on the individual is their sound health. Their sound health. After the favor of deen, the favor of sound health comes. So when you have al-afiyah, you have safety in your deen, you have sound health. The third one the scholars have mentioned, rahimahumullah, is the fitna fi dunya. You are also free, you are protected from the people and the evil that comes from human beings. So when you have protection from three things, you have afiyah. The first one is protection regarding your deen. The second one is protection regarding your well-being, your health. The third one is protection regarding evil from people. When you have this, you have al-afiyah. So instead of counting your enemies one by one, instead of counting the various sects one by one, instead of counting your health situation one by one, why not ask Allah for al-afiyah? You can see it, and it captures everything and includes everything you want to start listing one after the other. That was why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا عُوْتِيْتَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. If you have al-afiyah, in Yoruba it is al-afiyah, In Hausa, it is Al-Afia. In Arabic, it is Al-Afia. So what does Al-Afia mean? Protection regarding three things. Protection regarding your deen. You are preserved. You are upon sound religion and uprightness in your deen. No misguidance. No innovations. Sound. Two, you are sound in your health. Three, Allah has protected you from the people and the evil in their hands. These three things, if you have them, package them, that is what you have in Al-Afia. Always ask Allah for Al-Afia, Al-Afia, Al-Afia. And that's why Yoruba says, Shalafiani, are you in Al-Afia? I don't know the word with which they can change that word, Al-Afia. But usually they employ it to mean sound health. But it means more than that. You are sound in your deen. That's why a mushrik does not have Al-Afia, Kugbadun Kul Al-Afia, because the mushrik, the kafir, Kugbadun Kul Al-Afia, in the real all-encompassing meaning of Al-Afia. So the person who is a kafir, mushrik, or a person of bid'ah, abusing the companions of the Prophet, Kul Al-Afia, he does not have Afia. Be'edil Afia. My in-laws will say Be'edil Afia. He does not, he's not sound. He's not sound in his deen. He's not sound in his health. And then those who are also afflicted with the troubles from fellow human beings. Troubles from fellow human beings from various forms. So when you ask for Al-Afiyah from Allah, you are asking for these things. Soundness in your deen, soundness in your health, and protection from the evils that emanate from people. So that was why when the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how best are you dua'i afdalu? How best should I express my dua? The Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salillah al-afiyah, salillah al-afwa. Al-afu is regarding your sins, your mistakes, your errors, your shortcomings. Allah should pardon you and cover it from the face of the people. Don't let the people see me misbehaving, oh Allah. Protect me, cover me up. This is Al-Af. The ones that I have done too before, forgive me. This is pardon. Allah's pardon on you. The second one, Al-Afia. And like we said, the Prophet said in this report, فَإِذَا أُتِيتَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْتَ. If Allah grants you Al-Afia in this dunya, He grants you Al-Afia in Akhirah. Look at Afia in Akhirah. You are not troubled regarding your deen. It means you will get Al-Jannah. You have sound health in Akhirah. And then you are free from the troubles of human beings. On the day of Qiyamah, some of the people will be gotten into Jahannam because of the trouble of human beings. They'd killed someone. They'd insulted someone. They'd abused someone. These people will come and collect their good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. You are free from that. So you see, Al-Afia, asking Allah for Afia is very important. Something related to this was collected by Al-Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, in his Sunan. The uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm sure you remember him, Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the father of Abdullah, the father of Fadl ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhum. Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiyallahu anhum. One day he came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulallah, allimni an as'aluhu Allah. Teach me something that I should be asking Allah Azza wa Jal. Allimni shay'an as'aluhu Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh Abbas, the Prophet said, the Abbas said, oh Muhammad, oh Rasulullah, Ya Rasulallah. He is asking him by the fact that don't forget that Allah has sent you as a messenger to mankind. So let me ask you this regarding Ya Rasulallah, oh Messenger of Allah. Alimni shay'an as'aluhu Allah Azza wa Jal. Teach me something that I should be asking Allah. Just like this man who came and said, Ayu du'a'i afdalu. Here Abbas said, teach me something. Ulama said, this is evidence. And it is very common. You see the rank and file of people go to their teachers, they go to their mashayikh, they go to their asatida, asking them, can you teach me one dua I should be making? Teach me one dua. Teach me one dua. Teach me one dua. Here Abbas radiallahu anhu went to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So take this, that Abbas went on behalf of the rest of us, as if we are the one asking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Alimni shay'an as'aluhu Allah azza wa jal. Teach me something that I should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salillah al-afiyah. Ask Allah for al-afiyah. 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 I should be asking Allah for al-afiyah. He said, radiyallahu anhu. Famakastu ayyaman. So I went on, I stayed for some days. Thumma ji'tu fakult. So then I returned to him again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I asked him, ya Rasulallah. Alimni shay'an as'aluhu Allah azza wa jal. Teach me something I should be asking Allah. Teach me. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Abbas, don't forget, the age gap between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abbas, we are very close. Abdullah, the father of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, is an elder brother of Abbas. But Abbas was born close to the time the Prophet was born. The age gap was not up to 2 to 3 years between the two of them. And you know what that happens? Between the uncle and the nephew, their ages were close, and they lived in closed societies, not in the distant, lone, solitary societies that we have created for ourselves now. In those days, people lived together as families and homes, together, everybody. So Abbas and the Prophet were age range mates. They played together, they grew up together. So the Prophet sometimes would refer to him and say, what? Abbas. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ya Abbas, ya Amma Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remember you, Abbas, and I remember that you are my uncle. You are the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, Salillah al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Ask Allah for al-afiyah in dunya wal-akhirah. In this dunya and akhirah. If you have al-afiyah in this dunya and akhirah, like he said in this report, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqad aflahta. You have succeeded. If you gain man, like he said here, alayhi salatu wasalam, fa'idha utita al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah, faqad aflahta. فَإِذَا أُعْطِيْتَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْتَ. If Allah grants you al-afiyah in this dunya, what does that mean? Your deen is preserved. You are upon pristine deen, sunnah, sound, sak in your deen, sound. In your health, your body, your mind, you have well-being and sound health. And Allah has protected you from human beings and their evil. How is that? How is that, Ikhwa? That's a sound state of mind in your health, sound state of your deen, and you are protected from the evil from human beings. How is that? Big, big benefit. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam gave that key to success to his uncle. I call it key to success. What is this? Salillah al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Ask Allah for afiyah, al-afiyah, al-afiyah. Many times we say it, the meaning is bigger than what we think. Al-afiyah, 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 ikhwa. And that's why Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he reported that one of the dua the Prophet would always make alayhi salatu wasalam is to say, Allahumma إني أسألك المعافاة في الدنيا والآخرة. إخوة، please let's learn this dua. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة. This dua occurs in Sunan Ibn Majah. And Al-Imam Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani in Silsilat al-Sahiha, he greets it sound. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Oh Allah, I ask you for al-afiyah in this dunya and akhirah. What does that mean? I ask you for soundness in my deen, soundness in my health, and protection from the evils of mankind. I ask you, protect me. Don't let the people make me a slave. Don't let the people overrun me. Don't put me at their mercy. Protect me against whatever evil they have. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. I ask you for this in this dunya, and I ask you for this in akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. I hope that the rest of us, our children and our wives, will learn this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Instead of counting, Allah, give me sound health, protect me from cancer, protect me from diabetes, protect me from headache, protect me from stomach ache, protect my leg, protect my head, protect this, protect that, protect this. You already, all of them is inside that expression. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat. And then it comes in a prophetic expression. It comes in the expression of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You seek blessings from his expressions too. You seek blessings, asking Allah's blessings for the fact that you are employing the expressions that was employed by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة. One day Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, this hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Al-Bazzar رحمه الله. Musnad Al-Bazzar, very big book of hadith. And Al-Imam Al-Albani greets its sound in Silsilatul Sahiha, Rahimahullah. Anas ibn Malik said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marra biqawmin mubtalin. Marra Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawman biqawmin mubtalin. The Prophet passed by one group of people who were seen to be suffering. They were suffering, hunger, sound, ill health. They were poverty, everything was there. When you see them, you see that these people are suffering, mubtaleen, they are in bala, people afflicted with troubles. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amma kana haula yas'aluna al-afiyah. Were these people not asking Allah for afiyah? Were they not asking Allah for afiyah? When he saw them in trouble, have you not been asking Allah's protection from all of these problems and troubles? So meaning that one major way to ask for Allah's protection from problems, troubles, trials, whether in the deen of a person or in his religion, is to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. He said, "Amma kana haula yas'alun al-afiya." Have those people who are not asking for afia, were they not asking Allah to grant them uprightness in their religion, soundness in their health, and protect them from the evils from mankind? Hey, so why are you in this condition? Were you not begging Allah not to be in this condition? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa هريرة رضي الله عنه: اللهم إني أسأل، اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة. In this seed that, that hadith of Abbas, because the Sunan Tirmidhi, he said, Alimna, this one came to say, I know what I want. And then the man came again, just like Abbas came again. That's why we said this report has a corroborating evidence. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in it, فَإِذَا عُوتِيتَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْتَ. If you are granted al-afiya fi dunya wal akhirah, what is al-afiya? As-salamatu fi din min al-fitnati. You are preserved in your deen, away from misguidance, away from innovations, away from the trials of belief, trials of creed. Your belief is sound. Your ibadah is sound. Your muamala is straight, clean. You are a neat person in your deen, pristine, clean inside Islam, steadfast, walking straight, head up, looking ahead and hopeful in your deen. And then in all of these, you have sound health. In all of these, Allah protects you from the evil in the hands of human beings. This is the meaning of al-afiya. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة في الدنيا والآخرة. The messenger said عليه الصلاة والسلام, فإذا أوتيت العافية في الدنيا والآخرة فقد أفلحت. If you are granted العافية in dunya and عافية in آخرة, you are already successful as a human being. May Allah grant us success. We can quickly come to the next hadith, hadith 638. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Adam, Qala Haddathana Shu'ba, An al-Jurayri, An Abi Abdullah al-Anazi, An Abdullah ibn al-Samit, An Abi Dharin, An al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Qal, Ahabbu al-Kalami illa Allah, Subhanallah, La sharika lah, Lahu al-Mulku wa lahu al-Hamd, وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان الله وبحمده. This hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports it from his Shaykh Adam ibn Abi Iyas rahimahullah. He reports from Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj عن الجريري. Jurayri in this isnad, he is Abu Mas'ud. Sa'id ibn Iyas. Al-Jurayri is Abu Mas'ud. Sa'id ibn Iyas. He is reporting from Abu Abdullah al-Anazi. I heard somebody reading for one of the scholars, yes, and he called it al-Anazi. No, it is al-Anazi. And there are many amongst the scholars who are according to this ascription. Al-Anazi, Al-Anazi, Al-Anazi. There are many. But this one is Humayr, Himyari ibn Bashir. Himyari ibn Bashir. He is reporting from Abdullah ibn al-Samit, Abu Nadr. Abdullah ibn al-Samit is the tabi'i of this hadith, Abu Nadr. And the sahabi of this hadith is Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, Jundub ibn Junada. Radiallahu anhu. He is written another expression of official to us, Ahabbul Kalami illallah, the most beloved of expressions to Allah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, La Sharika lah, Lahul Mulku wa Lahul Hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. It's about five or six expressions. Free from any imperfections, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is absolutely free from imperfections, imperfections of depending upon human beings, imperfections of erring, imperfection of not being appropriate, imperfections of not knowing something. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is free from all imperfections. I declare and affirm that. This is the meaning of Subhanallah. La sharika la. Allah has no associate. He has no dependent. He has no child. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. No parents. Lam yalid. Walam yulad. These are from the meanings of La sharika la. He has no companion. He has no associate. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. Lahul mulk. All powers and sovereignty belong to him. If anybody has some power and authority, they were given to him by who? Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. So absolute authority and sovereignty belongs to him. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. Likewise, praise and gratitude. Lahul hamd. They are deservingly his. He owns them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. He has power over all things. Human beings create things and they don't have power over it. Like they don't have power over the nuclear weapons. If you activate one now, even the one who activated it might be afflicted by it. May Allah protect us. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. He has ability and power and control over all things. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawl. There is no knowing, no quwwa, no power or ability. There is no knowing about how to handle something or the power to handle that thing. Illa billah. Except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. I declare Allah's freedom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's being so high above imperfections. Wa bihamdihi, and declare that every praise and gratitude, they deservingly belong to him. These are expressions that Allah likes. Just like the other we had said earlier, Subhanallah. والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله الله أكبر. In this case, there are more expressions to that. It said سبحان الله لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان الله وبحمده. These are expressions of adhkar, and Allah likes them so much, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it will suffice as a lesson, inshallah, if we stop here, because the next hadith is a bit lengthy. We'll take it up bismillah tomorrow, and it has to do with learning a dua. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was busy making dua. She spent a long time. The Prophet was saying, why are you spending that? Let me teach you some things. You say quickly, and it will cover everything that you have been saying. That means we need to pay attention to those expressions of dua that are concise, but their meanings are all inclusive. So instead of counting one by one, Allah give me a house, Allah give me a car, Allah give me clothes, Allah give me house, Allah give me sound health, give me this, give me. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة. You ask him, you repeat, you insist, you persist. اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة في الدنيا والآخرة. Grant me العافية in dunya and العافية in آخرة. I'm sure the meaning of this word is something that we have now understood. So when we employ it, we know that it means far much more than what we employ that word for, al-afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat. Oh Allah, I ask you for al-afiyah في الدنيا والآخرة. Oh Allah, I ask you for al-afiyah fi dunya wal akhirah. May Allah grant us all al-afu wal afiyah fi dunya wal akhirah. Can we have a few questions today, ikhwa?
نعم يا شيخ، أنا أحسن الله إليكم.
Amin wa iyyakum Aba Yusuf.
نعم، the first question reads: Are the parents rewarded or punished in the graves for the good deeds or bad deeds of the children they left behind?
Aba Yusuf, come to the questions regarding the lessons today first. Then we can come to this, but I will answer your question while you look at those ones. Parents may be punished in the grave for the misdeeds of their children. Parents may be punished in the graves for the misdeeds of their children. Now you will ask, did Allah not say, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى? No one will carry the burdens of the other person. No one will carry the burden. So why are we saying that the parents may be punished for the incongruences of their children? The first reason is that if the parents have not trained those children to fear Allah and be upon the religion, if you have not trained your children upon the deen, then you are guilty. From the consequences of not training your children upon the deen is that when you leave, they do what they like. From that is crying and wailing, buka, crying, wailing, doing parties and all of these. Parents may be punished for all of those sins. Disobedience to Allah, committing zina, drinking alcohol and all of these. Parents may be punished for the evils that their children commit when these parents have not fulfilled the rights the children had on them as children by bringing them up upon sound Islam. Some parents think that when they put the children in Ileke, we put them in Ileke so they should know you have a duty as a parent first and foremost before the Ileke. And some just put them in Ileke and they don't care what happens. They don't monitor it as you monitor their maths and English and physics and chemistry, basic science. You monitor it every day. You see their results, you check it, you ensure that they are learning. Do you ensure the same thing with your children? Some parents, the children even misbehave right when they are alive. Many Muslim elites have their children now. If you see their heads, they look like those boys on music TV. Many Muslim elites have their children barbing hairs so badly. The children don't pray. The children are nonchalant about the deen. They don't care. Even when you are alive, don't think that you are successful. Just look back at how well you have struggled. You have spent money and business, and you are proud that you sent them to Canada, you sent them to US, UK. Did you put in the same efforts to guarantee their deen? If the answer is yes, bismillah, you'll be protected from the evils that those children commit. But if the answer is no, you have a case to answer before Allah. Your failure is from the means that led them to where they are in terms of evil. So parents, know that you have it on your head. As much as you put in efforts, my children went to the best school, make sure they go to the best madrasa. My children had the best teachers teaching them maths, make sure the best teachers teach them Quran and Hadith. My children went to this, make sure they went to the best thing too. If you don't do so and the children grow up without Islam, and then they begin to misbehave thinking that, oh, they are now free, they can choose for themselves, and they choose sin and disbelief and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just know that you have a case to answer. Allah called all parents in the Quran in Surah At-Tahrim. He said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, قو أنفسكم وأهليكم النار. Oh people of Iman, oh you who believe, قو أنفسكم, protect yourself وأهليكم, and your wives and your children, protect them, make efforts on them, struggle over them to be sure that they are not people of the fire. So if you fail in this, Allah will ask you, because Allah commanded you, do it. You have a duty to bring up your children upon Islam. But the concern of many elite parents is just engineering. They should be pilots. They should have IT knowledge, accounting, this, that. That's good too. But make sure that you put the same efforts for them to guarantee their deen and their hereafter. Because all those engineering, all those IT, we end once you put them in the grave. Once anybody goes to the grave, all those certificates has they have ended. But the deen has just started. You can see. So if you fail, you will be punished for it unless Allah forgives you on the day of Qiyamah. And that was why the prophets of Allah struggled upon this so much. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. He struggled. Even when that boy was going to face destruction, he was still begging Allah. Inna ibni min ahli wa inna wa'adaka al-haq wa anta arhamur rahim. He was even begging Allah. So he was begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nuh was struggling over his son. He struggled over his wife, but they rejected. So Nuh has no blame. Why? Because this boy and the mother rejected by themselves after struggles. The same thing with Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He struggled regarding his wife, but the wife chose to follow the path of unrighteousness. So as a man, you have a duty over your home to guide them upon religion, upon Islam. And that's why when a woman chooses a husband, she chooses the man that guarantees her deen first. Unfortunately, women are looking for social security and material security first foremost. It's unfortunate. Look for the man that will guarantee your religion. Your deen will improve. You will improve. You will learn more. You will be friend of Allah. You will be close to Allah. If that marriage lasts for 50 years and you die, you will not regret. But if all that concerns you is material comfort and enjoyment, and then the husband sways you away, you know that you are not upon afia, or you don't have al-afia. Those thoughts that led you to that decision are not thoughts of what? Al-afia. Irorinye o lalafia kwakwa. So there is no afia in thoughts that leaves out the deen, that leaves out the religion. So parents may be punished in the grave if they fail in providing the children the deen that should keep them upright. But if the parents could put in good efforts, clearly good efforts, praiseworthy efforts, and the children misbehave, then you say, Wala taziru wa ziratu Aba Yusuf.
Naam ya Sheikhana, jazakum Allah khairan, ahsana Allah ilaykum.
Amin wa iyyakum.
Naam. Can one limit oneself to prophetic duha alone while supplicating without mentioning one's needs?
Your needs are captured in that prophetic dua. If you are saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah, and you have headache, is it captured or not? If you have diabetes and you are saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah, is it captured or not? If you have a disturbance in your mind, and you are saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah, is it captured or not? It is captured. It is captured. So you can go on repeating and persisting upon the prophetic dua. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are granted al-afiya and al-afu in your deen and in this dunya and akhirah, faqad aflahta, you have certainly succeeded. Those your needs, are they not part of your success? In fact, you'll be giving those things that your needs, you'll be giving in a better way than you think. Think about this. You are begging Allah, Allah, give me sound health from diabetes. And there are other illnesses that you have not counted. You are saying, Allah, Allah, this is my malaria, help me take it away. And then there is a, another back pain disturbing you. But when you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat, you've calculated everything. In fact, you have added that he should protect you from armed robbers, from kidnappers, from Yahoo boys, from because you're also asking Allah to protect you from the evil of human beings. All evils that human beings can bring to you, you have asked him, you have sought protection with him, just by that simple expression. So to restrict yourself to prophetic supplications is even better. How best would you have made it? What is the fiqh in those companions going to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him to teach them? Because he will best give them the best expressions. So what was best for Abbas will be best for us. Allah will answer that question in the best of manners for you. He will give you better than one of the brothers when he makes dua for us. He will say, may Allah answer our dua better than we ask for it. Abu Zahra, he will say, may Allah answer our dua better than you ask. May he protect us from evils better than we ask. You are asking Allah, protect me from kidnappers, protect me from armed robbers, protect me from this. And there is house that can burn. Have people houses not been burning? But it is not in that dua that you are listening by yourself. You forgot. But once you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah, you have asked also protection. Oh Allah, don't burn my house. Oh Allah, don't burn my car. Oh Allah, don't make me have accidents. Oh Allah. So the prophetic words are actually more comprehensive, better expressed, more humble, more beloving than the one that you will do by yourself. Which one will you prefer, Abba Yusuf? A car that was imported from Japan, from Toyota, or the one that was assembled inside your hometown in Igbotako? Which one will you like best, Abba Yusuf? The one that's completed from Japan. That is the nature of human beings. So how about the dua that has been packaged by the Prophet for us? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think we can call it a day here, inshallah. We come back to class tomorrow, Abba Yusuf.
Naam, ya shikana. Barakallahu fikum. Barakallahu
fikum. I mean, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.